Today on The Journey.
Sometimes a rationalization comes from the echoes of culture, sometimes from our sinful nature, sometimes planted by Satan himself, and always has consequences. And many times those consequences produce collateral damage.
When we move to a place of disobedience, even for just a visit, consequences are sure to follow. Many are willing to accept that until they realize the negative repercussions are broader than they imagined. So today, Ron Moore helps us to count the cost of a visit to Sin City for ourselves and those we love. Before that, I want to let you know about Ron's book, Worn Out by Obedience. Its insightful reflections offer warning, grace, and strength for the spiritually weary, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with the message, Collateral Damage on The Journey.
I never meant to hurt anybody directly or indirectly with my conduct. Those are the words spoken too often from men and women who stand at a crossroads in their life. And so here you are, you're standing at a crossroads. There is an alluring, attractive temptation this way. And when you look this way, there's obedience. And obedience is often hard, but it's always right. So you stand at that crossroads and you have to make a decision. Am I going to go this way away from God? Am I going to go this way to God? And far too many people we know choose what is alluring, choose what is attractive, and then at the end of the day, they rationalize, no one else will ever know, and even if I get caught, it's only me, I won't hurt anybody else by my actions, but what do they have to say at the end? Oh, I'm so sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone, directly or indirectly, by my conduct. Sometimes a rationalization comes from the echoes of culture. Sometimes a rationalization comes from our sinful nature. Sometimes our rationalization is planted by Satan himself, but it's all a lie, whether it comes from the world, the flesh, or the devil. And sin always has consequences. And many times those consequences produce collateral damage, unintended harm to those we love and care for. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27 as we continue our series called Ziklag. This is a stretch in David's life when he got tired of running from a jealous king, Saul. He got worn out by obedience, and after a great act of obedience, he said this in chapter 27, verse 1. This is kind of the theme verse or the hinge verse of our series. David thought to himself, one of these days I'm going to be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. And you know what? It worked. Verse 4, and Saul was told that David had fled to Gath. He no longer searched for him. It's always amazing, isn't it? So often sin works practically. But sooner or later, the consequences will catch up with you. Paul wrote to Timothy in his first epistle, 1 Timothy 5:24, the sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. Sometimes you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar the very first time you put your hand in the cookie jar. Sometimes you have those cookies for weeks or months or years. But sooner or later, consequences always catch up with you. Now, David escaped from Saul. He, in essence, escaped from God. He moved to the land of the Philistines, sworn enemies of the Israelites, and befriended one of the five Philistine kings, a man named Achish. And they assigned David the city of Ziklag, and that's where David lived for 16 months in enemy territory. If you're going to live in enemy territory, you can't be yourself. And so David lived a double life. You have to do that. Pretend to be someone you're not. And he also lived a life of cover-up. And we saw last time the best way to cover up sin is with more sin until you have dug a deep hole. So David is in Ziklag. It's been over a year now. Look at chapter 29, verse 1. The Philistines gathered their forces at Aphek, and Israelites camped by the spring of Jezreel. So we're going to battle going on here. The Philistines are going to fight the Israelites again. This has happened many times. They're enemies throughout the Old Testament. It's a little different this time because you got David on the side of the Philistines. As the Philistine rulers marched with their units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marching at the rear with Achish. The commander of the Philistine asked, "What are the Hebrews doing here? We cannot allow the Hebrews to go fight against the Hebrews. Not good strategy." Achish replied, "Is this not David, who is an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year, and from the day he left Saul until now, I have found no fault in him." Now, when your enemy says, "I find no fault in him," probably not the description you want. But the Philistine commanders were angry with him, Achish, and said, "Send the man back that he may return to the place you assigned him. He must not go with us into battle, or he'll turn against us during the fighting. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the heads of our own men? Isn't this the David they sang songs about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." And so Achish called David and said to him, "Surely as the Lord lives, you've been reliable, and I'd be pleased to have you serve with me in the army. From the day you came to me until now, I have found no fault in you. But the rulers, the other four kings, they're not approving of you. So turn back and go in peace. Do nothing to displease the Philistine rulers." How do you think David responded to that? He was ticked off. Look at verse 8. "What have I done? What have you found against your servant from the day I came to you until now? Why can't I go and fight?" Check this out. This is how he describes the Israelites. "Why can't I go and fight against the enemies of my Lord, the king?" Man, that's crazy, isn't it? It's David. He wants to go fight against his own people. Sin has a way of confusing our minds, our thinking, our desires, our heart, our actions, our will, to the point where we don't know who the real enemy is. We don't know whether to do right or wrong. And I also know sin has a way of causing us to fight against those we love the most and hurt those we love the most. I also know this: the king's refusal to let David go into battle was a tremendous act of God's grace. And we're going to see that next time. Verse 9, Achish answered, "You have been as pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said, he must not go with us into battle and get up early along with your master's servants who have come with you and leave in the morning as soon as it is light." So David and his men got up early and they went back to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up and did their battle against Israel. Now, when David and his men returned home, they saw something that shocked them. Look at chapter 30, verse 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. So they're 3 days away from their families. Now, the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but they carried them away as they went on their way. Look at verse 3. When David and his men came to Ziklag, think of it, they're coming on the top of the hill and they look down at their city where their wives and children are. They're disappointed they don't get to go into battle, but they're happy they're home. But when they look down, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and son and daughters taken captive. And everybody looked at David. David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Now think about that. These men were seasoned soldiers. They faced death every battle. But when a man's family is attacked, when a real man loses his children and his wife for whatever reason, all the bravado is gone. And I've seen this happen too many times. Strong men, confident men, movers and shakers, leaders. They go home and their wife's gone because of something they've done, or they go home and their wife's gone because of something they neglected, and all of a sudden they weep until they cannot weep any longer. When you lose what you love the most, Forget all the titles. Forget your toughness. Forget your bravado. When you've lost what you love the most, there's nothing to do but weep because you know it's your fault. Picture these 600 men. Again, seasoned soldiers, scarred men. These tough men on the ground, face down, weeping until they had no strength left to weep. And they're looking at David and saying, what have you gotten us into? And David knows that his decisions produced not only sin in his own life, but there's now collateral damage. Now, God uses difficult times in our life. He uses crisis by our own making to bring us back to himself. But here's a question I want to deal with. How can I not be the person? How can I not be the father? How can I not be the man who has to stand up and say, you know what? I really never meant to hurt anyone directly or indirectly with my conduct. I see four warning signs here in the story. Here's the first warning sign. David was worn out by obedience. It was after a great act of obedience where he could have killed Saul and he didn't, that David says, I've had it. I'm tired. Now, many of us are extremely busy. We're going through an extremely busy time of life. In fact, for some of us, we could say it's never been busier. And some of you are under tremendous pressure. And when you're under tremendous pressure, here's the danger. Shortcuts begin to look inviting. Sin looks a little more attractive. As God told Cain, sin is crouching at your door. And Ziklag looks like a pretty inviting place to move. As nice as Ziklag may look like from afar, it is an ugly place to live. It's a painful place to live. You don't want to go there. And if you're feeling the spiritual edge wearing off, men, you have got to do what it takes to make certain you are sharp. And this begins by taking the time to spend in the Word of God. If you are not spending time in the Word of God on a daily basis, then all bets are off. You're not sharpening yourself. You're not the man that God wants you to be that day. And we all fail in that area. But if we're going to be who God wants us to be, if we're going to be a sharp instrument, we have to make certain that we're in the Word of God. That's where it starts. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 5 through 8, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, because there are going to be some challenging times. Do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of ministry, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. Paul says, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who are longing for his appearing. Now, if you're longing for his appearing, you're putting down some of the stuff going on in this life. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be said at my memorial service. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith, because you and I all know too many people slide for home and they don't keep sharp. Here's a second one. Warning sign, self-counsel. We talked about this a few times ago, but just a reminder, self-counsel will be your downfall. Look back at chapter 27, verse 1. Check out the personal pronouns as I read through this. But David said to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. Who's David thinking about? self-counsel only thinks about ourself. And when you're involved in self-counsel, you're not going to be thinking about your wife. You're not going to be thinking about your children. You're not going to be thinking about your influence. You're going to be thinking about you, and you're going to make a foolish decision. Hey, turn over real quick to Galatians chapter 6. Look at this. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Now check this out. Someone is caught in a sin. You see it. I'm not talking you read it on Facebook. You see it. They are caught in a sin. You who are spiritual, you have to go to them. You have to challenge them. You have to confront them. You have to restore them. And so people say, well, I look at that and I say, my goodness, that could be me, you know, but for the grace of God, I could be in that situation. Yeah, you could, but by the grace of God, you're not in that situation at that particular time. You at that particular time are the one who is spiritual. It might be you caught in a sin next time, but you're going to want someone who is spiritual coming to help you out. And so, men, we got to be in situations where people are not intimidated by us and know us enough to know that when we are sliding over the line, they come and they say, that's not what you should be doing. That situation, that conversation, that thing you just did, it didn't sound right, didn't look right, wasn't right. You cannot do that. And if you don't have someone like that in your life, then you're going to be stuck with self-counsel. Dangerous, dangerous place to be. Third one. Here's a danger sign. Moving to Ziklag. Escaping to the enemy was not an easy mission for David. When he decided to go to Ziklag, he was about 30 miles away. It was a rough terrain to get there. He has 600 men. Their wives and children are with them. I don't know how many of them were married. I know David had two wives and he had his children. The other men did. So we're talking about 1,500, 2,000 people over rough terrain to get to Ziklag. I mean, this is premeditated. This is thought out. This is something David just didn't do spur of the moment. My point is this. When you go on a meditated journey to Ziklag, you have to take your family with you. And when you take your family to Ziklag, there's going to be some tough times for your family. I don't care if it is an obvious flaunting of sin or if it is a secret sin. Sin impacts others even when they don't see it. Sin has collateral damage even when you're hiding it from everyone else because you're not hiding it from God. And you can't be the father you need to be and you can't be the husband you need to be when you're living in secret sin. And if we don't lead our families well or if we're living this double life, our kids look at what we say and what we do and what we preach and then they look at how we live and they say, you know what? I don't see a correlation between the two. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. When should you talk about them? All the time. Not, here's my religious box, here's my work box, here's my home box. It's all integrated. Talk about them all the time. Impress them on your children. Be a spiritual leader of your home. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Last one, warning sign. Leaving your family vulnerable. That's what David did. David was so focused on living this double life because a life of sin takes a lot of energy. If you're living a double life, I mean, most people don't have energy to live one. When you're living two, you're exhausted. And sin takes a lot of effort to cover up. You got to remember what you said and what you did. And David was so focused on pleasing Achish, he left his wife and kids vulnerable to the Amalekites. Now, I am no military strategist, but I'm pretty sure that leaving your wives and your children alone, right where the Amalekites can come in and burn the city and take them with no soldiers there, I just don't think that's a smart move. And men, we can leave our families vulnerable as well, can't we? So let me ask you some questions as we wrap this thing up. Here's the first one. How's your wife doing spiritually? You're the leader of your home. You should know that. Have you talked to her about it? How are your children doing spiritually? What are they watching? Who and what are they texting? What's on their Facebook? You say, Rania, come on, you know, that's their Facebook. That's their private area. And I'm not going to get into their private stuff. That's baloney. Some of you have more checks and balances with your employees' internet action than you do your kids. My philosophy has always been, when you're using my money in my home, then you get my monitoring. These are your kids. You are the leader. I'm sure my kids weren't the ones clapping there. You're the leader of your home. You're not perfect. You're far from it. We blow it so often. But God calls us to step it up. Don't leave your family vulnerable. Now, dads, as soon as you say, I do, for better or worse, richer for poor, in sickness and in health, till what? What is that? Till death us do part. You think there are going to be some worse times in there? Yeah. Some challenging times? For sure. When you say I do, you're the leader of a team that now is content on honoring God. And then when you hear those words, we're having a baby, now, it's not about you anymore either, is it? You've got to do what's best for your family. You're not an island. You're a piece of the family. You're a leader of your family. And if you allow yourself to be washed away to Ziklag, your family is going to pay the consequences of collateral damage. So don't be the person who says, oh, I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone by my actions, directly or indirectly.
And please stay tuned. Ron will return with a sample of his new podcast, Fresh Faith, just ahead. Do you desire to turn the corner in your walk with Jesus? If so, maybe you don't know where to start. You feel held back by the past, or maybe you're deeply scarred by sin. Well, King David, the man after God's own heart, experienced this very thing. In Ron Moore's book, Worn Out by Obedience, David is presented as a spiritual mentor. He's both flawed and on fire. He's the person you are and the person you want to be. In Worn Out by Obedience, you'll discover how God often molds your heart, like King David's, in seasons of brokenness, loneliness, and disappointment, sometimes even in your waywardness. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a sample of his question and answer podcast called Fresh Faith.
Our last question for this episode says, Proverbs 13:24 talks about the rod. Is physical discipline okay for Christian families?
Proverbs 10:24 talks about the rod, but it can also be a figure of speech for discipline. I'm not talking about taking a rod after your child. So maybe we're talking about spanking a child or whatever here. Yes, that needs to happen sometime. Maybe it needs to be rare. It needs to be meaningful and never, ever out of anger. It always has to be encompassed in love. It never can be done to inflict harm. There's an age range in there too. Bob, I think in your studies, 2 to 6 maybe, yes. in very appropriate.
Another thing just to add on to what you're saying, Ron, is as a part of the plan and an intentional approach to discipline, not the first response.
We hope you'll look for the online insights Ron shares in the Fresh Faith podcast. It's at BibleChapel.org under the resources link on our front page. And don't forget to order your copy of Ron's encouraging book, Worn Out by Obedience. If you're spiritually weary, discouraged, or exhausted, Worn Out by Obedience will help you to keep going or start moving. It's published by Moody Press and is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.